out. Hope all is doing well. I'm glad that all to be able to come back and be here tonight and to gather and to worship as we have this opportunity to do so. As we continue to live from day to day, our goal to continue to be faithful to God, to overcome temptations of this world, we need to make sure that we are doing all in the name of the Lord. We have Colossians 3, verse 17, where it tells us there, whatever you do, in order to do all in His name, giving thanks to God all the truth. So we want to make sure that we are keeping all His commandments, and in that mindset, this evening, going to bring up the point, all sin, should I guess they can condemn us. There isn't a sin out there that you can commit and it not be able to condemn you. And sometimes we get caught up in that mindset, maybe. We get caught up in tolerating some sin because, well, it's popular in the world, and therefore, you know, it's just everybody's doing it, and it can't be that bad. Or because we simply look at it as a smaller matter compared to others, and so therefore, you know, how much harm can it really do? So I ask that you open up your Bibles and follow along as we go through the lesson this evening to point out that we need to be aware of all sin. And so the first thing I want to bring out is, of course, that there are a variety of verses that go forward and show us a point to sin that will cause us to be cast out, cause us to miss out. And so Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. Revelation 21 and verse 8 says, "But for the cowardly and unbelieving and abominable and murderers, immoral persons, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars, their part will be in the lake that burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." So here it brings out a list of those who will be cast into a lake of fire. For the most part, we turn to Revelation 21, and we will end up just reading about all the good things. We'll go to verse 4, and we'll talk about the reward of no tears, no crying, no death. And so therefore, we look at that, and then we read the rest of this, and we'll talk about the street of gold and the gates and all the precious stones that make up the walls. We'll talk about the Lord and God being there, and there's so much. We'll go to chapter 22 and talk about the river of life, the tree of life, and how great heaven must be. You know, a great thing about heaven is that there won't be any sin there. You read verse 27 here in Revelation 21. Verse 27 says, "And nothing unclean, and no one who practices abomination and lying shall ever come into it, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life." So again, here it's bringing out the point, there's not going to be any temptation. And again, I try to wrap my mind around that. I try to figure out how that can be. But it's bringing this point out that it's going to be perfect. It's just going to be wonderful. But on that point, that means none of these sins or those who would cause these temptations is going to enter into heaven. Not one. Including, and we often turn to this one mainly to the point of if we're talking about what we might call smaller sins of life. This is all liars shall have their part. They will be cast out with the murderers and the thieves. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and in verse 9. Here it says, "Or do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminates, nor homosexuals, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God." Not one of them. And so again, we got another list of things, and again, some of it gets repeated, but not in it. And would we, as humans, take time aside and sit here and say, well, we can divide up which sexual immorality is worse than others. We get caught up and we say, well, you know, transgenderism, and we got homosexuality, and then you got adultery, and then you got fornication. But how can fornication be as bad? Because, you know, you're not married, so you're not really cheating on anybody. You see how someone might go forth and try to justify one better than the other. But they're all sin. Doesn't matter which one it is. Each one of them will keep you from entering into the kingdom of God. Each one of them will cause you to miss out on heaven. All sin will condemn us. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 19. Galatians chapter 5. In verse 19, as it reads here, it says, "Now the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity, strife, jealousy, outburst of anger, disputes, dissensions, passions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God." Again, so we go through here, and it gets starting to get into some of the things that are our mindsets, you might say. As it goes forth, you know, the outburst of anger or jealousy, strife, disputes. You know, we go down these lists, and you think about what it's all listed with. When we think about those who are thrown into jail, those who have to spend life in jail, you know, again, we say, well, that's for those who are terrible people, ones who have committed crimes over and over again, or those who have committed the worst crimes out there. How much do we look to all sin, all the things that God says will not inherit the kingdom of God, that they will miss out? One last verse on this one, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 1, here starting off, of course, reminding us that we are supposed to be like God. In verse 1, it says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love, just as Christ also loved you and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God as a fragrant aroma. But immorality or any impurity or greed must not even be named among you as proper among saints." Here goes again, impurity, immorality, or greed. It's not supposed to be even named among us. And verse 4 says, "And there must be no filthiness and silly talk or carousing, coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know with certainty, that no immoral, impure person or covetous man who is an idolater has an inheritance in the kingdom of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes up on the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them." Again, it's getting caught up. We're not even supposed to. It's getting that mindset as you're reading this. Don't get caught up in being involved with everybody else. And we have the example of Jesus, and he sat among the sinners and tax collectors, but he was there to teach them. He was there to shine his light with them. He was not participating with them. He was not allowing them to have any mindset that he was okaying the sin that they were in. As he saw sin, he taught against it. And so we're not supposed to be part of these things. You jump down to verse 11. As it reads here, it says, "Do not practice the unfruitful deeds of darkness, but instead even expose them. For it is disgraceful even to speak of the things which are done by them in secret. Let all things become visible when they are exposed by the light, for everything that becomes visible is light." And that kind of, you know, in that mindset, everything will come to light. It doesn't matter which one of these sins it is. If you're caught up in one of them, it'll cause you to miss out. It'll cause you to miss out, even to the smallest stuff. We'll look at a few examples that in mindset, if you really look at it, you can say, well, you know, they didn't do anything big. I mean, you go to the very first sin, Adam and Eve. What really happened there? They ate something. That's all that happened. They picked from one tree that they were not supposed to. And they ate of the tree of knowledge. They ate of the one tree that God said, do not eat. They didn't murder somebody. They weren't committing adultery. They weren't being abusive to anyone. They weren't swearing and cussing and, you know. But rather, the heart and mind was, I could be like God. Because again, if you get down deeper, it's not just that they ate it. It was where the heart was. Where was the heart? The heart was what the serpent, what Satan had tempted her with. God don't want you to know that you won't surely die, but rather your eyes will be open. You will know. You'll be like Him. But all that was done is she ate and then gave a bite to Adam. And that comparison to murder, comparison to thieves, comparison to rapists or pedophiles, you know, how's that compare? And guess what? They were cast out of the garden. They were cast out of this beautiful place that God had made them. Something small as just simply disobeying from eating from a tree that they were told not to. I'm guessing the order got mixed up here. I'm going down to Numbers chapter 15, if you will. Numbers will come to 2 Samuel here in a second. But Numbers chapter 15, I'll tell you what, this one always sticks in my mind when I think about what you might call a small sin that cost somebody's life. Numbers chapter 15 and verse 32 says, now while the sons of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses and Aaron and to all the congregation. They put him in custody because it had not been declared what should be done to him. Then the Lord said to Moses, the man shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall stone him with stones outside the camp. So all the congregation brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death with stones, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Why was this man stoned to death? It was picking up sticks. Now, was picking up sticks a sin? Was that part of what was wrong? No. What he wasn't doing was keeping the Sabbath holy. The Lord said, keep the Sabbath holy. And so therefore, they were limited in what they were allowed to do on the Sabbath day. And what they were supposed to do, they were supposed to be keeping it holy. And so therefore, there was preparation done the day before to make sure they had the food ready already. Everything was being ready. And so they weren't allowed to travel a certain amount of distance on that day. They're very limited on what they could do in keeping this day holy. Picking up sticks wasn't part of it. Again, why was he picking up sticks? What could have been so important that he went and picked up sticks? Sticks and stones. He picked up sticks, and then he was stoned. I tell you, if you want a verse to sit here and question yourself on what is worth missing worship. The assembling of the saints. Because this, again, is Sunday, the Lord's Sabbath. People want to kind of change, you know, it's changed from this, right? Keeping the Sabbath day holy to remembering the Lord's sacrifice on Sunday. Not forsaking the assembling. This man was only picking up sticks. The excuses we make to miss worship. Will we miss out because of it? Smallest thing can keep us from entering into the kingdom of heaven. And 2 Samuel chapter 6, and I know there's a lot that leads up to this situation, and I feel like the priest should be accountable, and the king, David, should be accountable for this situation. But here in 2 Samuel chapter 6, and in verse 6, it says, but when they came to the threshing floor of Nacon, Uzzah reached out toward the ark of God and took hold of it, for the ox narrowly upset it. And so in another translation, they started to stumble. The ark was stumbling. It was about to fall down. And Uzzah simply steadied the ark. reached his arm up, and he steadied the ark. And in verse 7 it says, and the anger of the Lord burned against Uzzah, and God struck him down there for his arrogance, and he died before the ark of God. Now, if you read further, David gets really upset. He leaves the ark. But again, I believe that's a guilty conscience on David because he was the king. He should have known better. The priest should have known better on how this ark should have been carried. And they weren't carrying it in the right way. But Uzzah's part, what caused him to be struck down? He didn't obey God. They weren't supposed to touch the ark. And he simply steadied it from falling down. Again, that's one of those things where you can get caught up. Oh, one of us in that situation, maybe just in a jerk reaction, see if stumbling, you quickly reach up and stuff. Smallest things can cause us to miss out on that. Smallest things can cause us to have an eternal life torment if we do not stop, repent, and seek God's forgiveness. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 4, Acts chapter 5 and verse 4, again, we can see the consequences of lying directly right here. Acts 5 and verse 4. As we read about Ananias and Sapphira, as they decided to sell some of their possessions, and they brought not all of it to Peter and the apostles, to the disciples, to the work of the Lord. They lied is what got caught them in sin. In verse 4, it says, while it remained unsold, did it not remain your own? And after it was sold, was it not under your control? Why is it that you have conceived this deed in your heart? You have not lied to men, but to God. It wasn't that they kept money back. That's not what the sin was. The sin was that they lied. They lied and were trying to deceive others and making them think that they had given everything. And they fell down dead. First the husband, then the wife. Again, you look at these examples, and to my mindset, you think you could do more. You could go back and look at Moses. What caused him not to enter into the land was, you can say two things. One, that of what he had said in front of the children of Israel. You know, simple slip of words, the anger, the time, the moment, how long he's been leading the children of Israel, listening to their complaining, and they wanted some water again, and he's supposed to go speak to the rock. Instead, he struck it, and he didn't say what, you know, he spoke out of turn. Because of that, he missed out. Again, you read further, and it seems like, you know, he did what was right up to his death, and, then, you know, as far as we can say, and we know that he appeared to Jesus on the mountain with Elijah. So it appeared he made his life right with God before he died. But at that time and moment, that caused him to miss out on entering into the land of Canaan. Promised David and his descendants. You can use Peter as an example. You know, when Jesus turned around and said, "You deny me, Satan." What big sin was Peter committing there? He was simply saying, "Far be it, I will keep you from dying, Lord. You are not going to die. You are my king. You're my Savior, so therefore I'm going to fight for you." And Jesus had to say, "Your mindset isn't of God's." And he said, "Get behind me, Satan." Because his mind was not lined up with what needed to be done. Again, Peter, when he was walking on water, you know, because his mind wasn't focused on Christ, because he became scared of the waves and the storm that was there at time in hand, he began to sink. We don't allow fear to cause us to sink. What sin would you say is worth missing out on? Again, all sin. We have to remember Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It doesn't say all are murderers. It doesn't say all are thieves. All are abusive people. No, it says all have sinned. And therefore all are condemned. Under scriptures, we are all set to face judgment. All needed that sacrifice from our Lord and Savior. Jesus came to die for all, right? John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He died for all. You go to 2 Peter 3:9, where it tells us he desires all to come to repentance. 1 Timothy 2:4, where it brings out he wants all to be saved. But Jesus had to die for you. Whatever sin it is you have committed, you've done in this lifetime, Jesus died. He had to die for it. Otherwise, you would be facing a life without hope. A life that is leading to eternal life of torment. Every sin can cause us to fall short. Because we all have to come before the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10 says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. We all must come before the judgment seat of Christ. Each and every one of us. But have we fallen short? Have we not kept one of his commandments that he has told us to do? We've got to remember we have to be obedient also. We have to make sure we keep his commandments. If we do not obey, then we fall short also. So we extend the Lord's invitation every opportunity we got. To any who need the prayers of congregation, to any who have not yet obeyed the gospel and been baptized for the forgiveness of their sins, if there's anything we can do for you, let it be known. Stand aside.
Wonderful
Savior,